This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in at this time. We love talking to him from NFL Network, Brian Billick. Coach, good morning. How is everything?
Good morning to you.
We're talking about the AFC North, of course, with the couple off weeks, though, for the Steelers and the Browns, but around the AFC North, it seems like with the trade that Baltimore made to get Marcus Peters, is this general manager Eric DaCosta saying, we think if we shore up that back end, we got a real chance to win now, win big now, and we got to go for it here?
Yeah, no question. And I don't know that's any different than what they've done before. Baltimore, traditionally, has been fairly conservative in terms of making for trades. Obviously, the secondary is always a concern. I remember a couple of years ago, Ozzie Newsome, we had gotten really short in the back end, and Ozzie came in and said, I'm never going to let that happen again. Because particularly in today's game, you can't have enough DBs. It's not just a matter of a set of starting corners and safeties. You've got to have a nickel. You've got to be dime. You've got to be deep in the secondary. They've had a lot of injuries there. Their defense has struggled a bit, particularly in the front seven. So you can see where this is an effort on their part to go, okay, we need to put more on our secondary because we're going to have to bring more of that fifth and sixth defender to get pressure.
Brian, has John Harbaugh done enough and have the Ravens done enough to protect Lamar Jackson to this point? Because I saw that he's finally starting to show some reservations about the number of big hits or perhaps just the fact that any big hits are being taken by Lamar Jackson after the win over Cincinnati.
Well, that's interesting because during, and I did their preseason games, and my conversations with them, with Lamar and Coach Harbaugh across, was they were all in. Right from when they took Lamar Jackson to what they designed in the offseason, I asked John Harbaugh, using Cam Newton's 2017 year where he ran the ball 139 times, and saying, okay, over and under, where's Lamar going to be at the end of the year? And he says, oh, over, by a lot. And at that time, they were talking 170, 180 carries, that, you know, whatever it took, because it does add a dynamic element to what they're doing. Well, now, you know, we're six games into it, and he's on a pace for about 185, 190 carries, and I think the real world is settling in where they're looking and going, oh, boy, we don't know if we really want to expose our guy to that many hits. And it seems to be going up and down. He started the season, he ran the ball three times against Miami, but he threw five touchdown passes and a bunch of passes. Then when the passing game wasn't playing quite as well, then all of a sudden now you're seeing him carry it 14, 15, last week 19 times. So it's whatever it takes to get it done. I think they're protecting him in the style of running, keeping him outside the tackles. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to see him with maybe 180-plus carries, which is always a concern. Can a quarterback in the National Football League carry the ball 180 times and stay healthy? I mean, right now, he's the eighth-rated rusher, not quarterback, rusher in the National Football League.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Brian Billick, NFL Network, joining us here, Fan Morning Show. We turn our talk to the Steelers, and just the other day we had Channing Crowder on, and he was oh so good talking about linebacker play. And to watch Devin Bush, he was saying, you see all the natural ability, you see him as a great linebacker. It's tough for a young linebacker to communicate, learn the terminology, and delegate things at times. Is that what you found as well, that once a young linebacker gets that, then it's just full bore?
Sure. And it is a learning process. What you find then is because, you know, you don't want your players to think. And that's terrible, but what you're saying is you want them to be able to react. Like if they're focusing too much on peripheral things, the call, who's where, is this where I'm supposed to be, is that where you're supposed to be, which is a natural evolution in any defense, any young player, then you're not reacting. And the less he has to think, the more he can just react. And you know, I was around a pretty good one in Ray Lewis. And what was amazing to watch Ray Lewis in his growth, and he did the same thing. He had to go from thinking to reacting. Well, once you get to that stage, then you get to the point where you're anticipating. And now when a Ray Lewis, not to put Devin Bush at that level, but when you talk about the great ones, they get to a point. I had Mike Singletary was coaching Ray Lewis for a while, and to be around and watch these guys interact with one another, when you get to the point where you can't anticipate, so now you are that step ahead of not only reacting, because Ray Lewis was the best I've ever seen in terms of reading and reacting. It was almost instantaneous. But when you add the element of now anticipating and getting that just half a step ahead of the curve because you now see what's happening and you can anticipate and you're there really kind of before they are, then now you've taken that to another level. But that's a slow progression. It takes a while to get there.
How do the Steelers, Brian, continue to create the pressure they've created on quarterbacks to this point in the season without Stephon Tuitt?
Well, anytime you lose a good player, it affects you. It's no different than on the offensive side when all off this summer, what do we talk about? How do you create offense when you lose a player the caliber of Antonio Brown or at the running back position or at any position? If you lose your starting left tackle, well, how do you maintain that left side? It does, because obviously, particularly with pressures on the sack, when you have a dynamic player, teams have to focus on that player. Well, that presents opportunities on the other side. Problem with the Ravens right now is that without Terrell Suggs, they really don't have that guy. You play the Ravens right now, and you don't look at that front seven and go, okay, is there anybody here that we have to double, that we have to chip, that we have to put a tight end presence? And when you don't, that allows you to be a little more even-handed. When you have that guy, like Tuitt or any of the great pass rushers, okay, we have to account for him. I just did a bit on Playbook about J.J. Watt, the difficulty in playing the Houston Texans. You better account for J.J. Watt on every play, because if you don't, then he's going to beat you. So your whole design has to be about stopping J.J. Watt. Well, that opens opportunities for someone else because they're going to be one-on-one. When you remove that, obviously you're removing an element of your pass rush.
Coach, I was watching the game with the Ravens and the Steelers that Mason Rudolph got hit on, and someone said to me that was in my group of friends, said, "I can't," a little younger than us, "I can't believe how hard hitting this football game is." And I said, hold on a minute. Can maybe you speak to the brutality and how hard hitting those old Ravens Steeler games were? Because I seem to remember just how incredible it was.
It when you're standing on the sideline, and obviously I've been around my fair share of them, and I've been in this game a long time now, so it's not like I'm naive or haven't seen these types of physical encounters. But there are times when you're standing on the sideline, particularly in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry, where you actually wince. You see a hit, and you kind of just, oh my God, how can they sustain that kind of? And it's not just one. It's time and time and time. It's not just the one hit in the game. It's one after the other. It's the subtle physicality of every position across the board. To me, that's why it's the best rivalry in football, because I think even now, it's morphed a little bit to when Pittsburgh was, more dynamic offensively, and now, Baltimore doing some things and spreading it out. It is still, for my money, the most physical rivalry in the NFL.
The Steelers showed a little bit of that physicality against the Chargers on Sunday night in that they were able to get going downhill, even with James Conner getting most of the fourth quarter off because Benny Snell was running inside and breaking tackles. Is that something that they need to make sure to keep a part of the game, of the offensive game plan going forward as Mason Rudolph comes back from concussion and continues to work as a backup quarterback?
Oh, absolutely. Particularly, with a young quarterback that you want to keep on a 25, 30 pitch count, you've got to have a dynamic running game. You have to have a good physical defense to go with it. You don't, and this is an indictment of where they are in the passing game. It's just he's a young quarterback right now, and he needs that help, because to put him in a situation where he's got to throw this on his shoulders with 40, 45 throws, it's just like we talked about with Devin Bush and the growth at the position. Well, certainly a quarterback, I don't know that you want to do that. The more you can run downhill, be physical, particularly in today's game, the San Diego Chargers are a unique team. They are kind of the team of the future with those safeties that they have that are kind of hybrid linebackers and safeties. Because why? The game is spread out. You need more athletic players. The Baltimore Ravens linebacking corps has gotten more athletic. Well, they've gotten smaller. So if you have the ability to say, okay, yeah, we're a spread out league right now, but I'm going to come right down your throat. I'm going to pound away at you. And I have, particularly with my offensive line, with my running style, and you just don't have the players on defense anymore because you've built for this spread out game, that you're going to have a tough time holding up. If I can do that, if I can sustain that, then that's a huge advantage for a team that can do that and then play good defense to back it up.
With a backup quarterback, last thing for you, Coach, with a backup quarterback and the production not there, and it wasn't there when AB had to play with a backup quarterback either, would you ever tinker with moving Juju back into the slot just a little bit to get him the football around the scrimmage line?
It's a possibility. Certainly that inside, it's easier to throw. It's where you can get some good matchups. You got to look at it all. You know, you'd love to have, for a young quarterback, good dynamic tight end play. That's always a key factor for a young quarterback as well. You have to give him options, obviously, counter to just the one great player. And you know, we're seeing that with Pat Mahomes, who is, I mean, what a spectacular player, beyond just the ankle injury he has. When all of a sudden Tariq Hill's not in, or now they don't have Watkins, or, you know, you take away that element, it does limit, you're having to force yourself to one or two players. If you provide yourself with more choices, you make it easier. So moving Juju Smith around is probably not a bad idea, but that singular move is not going to be the only answer.
Ryan Billick, NFL Network, why don't you tell us before you get going about Roman, Coach?
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be partnered with Roman. You know, men, we just don't take care of ourselves the way we should. You know, 50% of men over 40 haven't been to a doctor in 2 years. But with GetRoman.com, you get expert medical care. You, with licensed physician, you're doing it online in the privacy at home, easy access. It's simple to get started. You go to GetRoman.com/coach and you get your first visit free. But now you have what amounts to a concierge doctor that you have access to deal with any number of things, whether it's ED, hair loss, cold sores, any things that we men tend to ignore. Now you have access to it. There's no reason not to go to GetRoman.com.
Wonderful stuff. We'll catch up again soon, Coach. Thank you much.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty. Really, really good. Brian Billick, really. Always the quick dismount. We love talking to him. I'll tell you what, though. The knowledge that he brings is spectacular.
He's got X's and O's on everybody.
He knows everybody.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.